Stories from the past to present. This is the history of Ducks hockey. Let's turn the pages back and relive from mighty till now.
All right. We have a little episode of From Mighty Till Now. And I'm your host, Emerson Needham, with Francois Beauchemin, Ryan Miller, and Ryan Getzlaff. Guys, thanks for joining me.
Yeah, no problem.
We're going to get right into it. Thoughts on Getzy's espresso martini last night?
That was, I didn't see that coming.
I didn't either.
No, I got surprised.
I have nothing to chirp about it. Like, I've...
Very polished, you know?
I'm in favor of those.
It's classy.
It's a nice way to start.
Kettle One in it, right? We're just going to
I went tequila last night, actually.
Really?
Casamigos, yeah.
Wow.
Started doing them with tequila.
Tequila? Last month. I can respect that.
Haven't tried that one.
No, there was a place in Tennessee, actually, that suggested it, and I'm not a big tequila guy, but it kind of ups it a little bit.
Casi Azul too. I mean, yeah.
Reposado.
Unbelievable. What were you sipping on last night?
Oh, I just waited for the wine.
And then, it was red, right? If I could remember.
Yeah, I can't remember who Loomis ordered.
Loomis.
Loomis.
Loomis was flexing a little bit last night.
A little Temecula red.
Yeah, I don't know what he had going.
But and then Bush.
I had a couple beers to start with, and then we switched to red for dinner.
Nice. What beer?
What was it? What was it? Sleeman? Not Sleeman.
Shout out to Brewery X. Was it? Too.
Yeah.
And I can't forget about our people who support us. But so we're staying at the Pendry, and fill me in last night. What was the place called that we chopped it up at?
It's their private club.
Here at the Pendry.
It's an Italian restaurant, so.
It's really private.
Nice spot.
Really private.
It was very personal. It was a fun time.
This must be your suite up here, huh?
Yeah.
I'm looking at the ocean view behind you. And
It's my show right now.
Yeah, I didn't get this room. I'm looking at a parking lot or something.
Here at the Pendry. Getzy, how's your stay been?
It's only been one night, yeah. No, we had a really nice time last night. It was great getting together with everyone, and dinner was great, drinks were great. It was I got no arguments, my friend.
I heard, rumor has it, you're staying in two suites right now with the fam. That's the rumor on the
we're
street.
A circus.
Can you confirm?
We travel as a circus. I don't know if you call them two suites. Like I said, I don't have this.
So this is wow.
This is a nice suite. I have two adjoining rooms. How about?
Shout out to Duckstream for hooking it up.
Taking care of us.
So how is it with the Getzlaff fam? Like, is it hectic in the two rooms or no?
It's a circus.
It's a circus?
Yeah, we should have actually started this down there. It would have been...
It would have been epic.
Yeah.
Just mic up everyone. Yeah.
Yeah. Four young kids bouncing around and jumping from bed to bed.
And then, Bosch, for you, did you bring the kids?
Nope, no kids.
Okay.
So Marie and I came in on Wednesday.
Okay.
Had a little dinner Wednesday night. Post dinner, went down to Mastro for a little butter cake.
what did you get?
The butter cake.
Yeah, that's all you got?
At Mastro's. We had dinner at Javier's first.
Did you get the queso at Javier's?
No, we always have the...
You don't get the queso?
No.
You get the queso. You get the queso, right?
I'm a big cheese guy, yeah.
Yeah. Queso fundido. Get the queso fundido.
Yeah?
Unbelievable.
Really?
And then so Mastro's, the cake. Okay.
Then we stopped a little at Barolo for lunch yesterday.
I was just going to mention
friend it. Giuseppe.
Have you ever, as far as, and Barolo's unbelievable. Like it's just, but you know, have you guys taken spouses on dates there? I mean, would you go to Barolo with Paige?
Yeah, I've taken her a couple times. Taken some friends there for dinner, but not very often, no. That's kind of our sacred spot. So
every time we had families over, I would grab food for dinner.
We used to live right over there too.
Yeah,
we lived in
that's
Tustin.
Right. 10 minutes.
Me and Bosch both lived there. So
I didn't know if that was a pregame only spot. I need to take Danette on a
that's
little bit
there. Pregame spot, but a weekly takeout.
But you did it on the side too.
Oh yeah. Yeah, after my kids' hockey practice on the way home, I would grab some Barolo.
No way.
Like I said, every time we had family over for a week, it was once or twice.
So we've,
because everything's good.
So we've definitely covered why we look a little overweight right now.
Looking back on it, like some of my pregame meals, they were just too big. They were just...
Oh, you remember my road meals.
You remember my road meals.
You definitely struggled to lock down the size of the plate you were eating.
Yeah, but the Barolo, it was out of control.
I don't think I rarely finish my plate too. Because obviously it's a huge piece of chicken and a full bowl of pasta. And on top of that, we started with mozzarella prosciutto.
Unbelievable.
Finish it off.
It's a National League meal.
Oh, yeah.
So the stays at the Pendry so far have been money. And the reason I bring it up, and I think I don't know if I took it for granted, but being just the color radio guy now, going on the road with the team, it's just being not a player and maybe not having the pressure of playing and thinking about what players do, I think about other stuff. Like Ritz-Carlton, four seasons. I look at the pen, like down to the pens, down to the Nespresso machines, it's different for me. So...
You're not traveling like that normally?
Well, no. So for me, I just pay attention to different stuff in my role now as a player.
Oh, yeah.
And
it's definitely, it's a nice way to travel. You definitely, I miss that. I miss getting on the private plane and going different places. It's not quite the same now.
I miss being told what to do a little bit, because it's like now you got to plan it all out.
Like for road hotels, what was your bread and butter? Like what did you like? I mean, everyone talks about the Peninsula.
Oh yeah.
Right, but what was your go-to? Like what was your favorite
hotel?
Hotel on the road.
I was a big Pacific Rim.
Really?
Vancouver.
Yeah. We stayed there the first time this year. We stayed somewhere else the second time. What about you?
Yeah,
it's
you changed hotels there.
Don't shoot the messenger.
Yeah, I'm gonna need to talk to.
No, you got to talk to someone. Yeah. Mills, how about you?
I'm gonna go off the rails here because no one really liked the hotel, but I liked it because they had the best lunch. It was St. Paul at the St. Paul Hotel.
St. Paul, Minnesota.
St. Paul.
Wow. Dude, that place was
complete
like,
old school.
That place was like a noodle
soup.
Millsy, that place was like a dorm room.
That was the best soup.
Chicken and rice soup.
It was like an inch, the door, it was like an inch off the floor kind of thing.
Yeah.
Well, it didn't have air conditioning either. It was just you were either cold or hot. That was it. They didn't.
I like the soup that much, man.
The chicken rice soup?
Yeah.
Love that.
Yeah. Really good soup.
See?
You remember that, Bosch?
Yeah, we stayed there a lot too.
Oh, yeah. They still stay there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's probably the worst hotel in the league, though. It's the only hotel that has never been renovated in my whole career.
You know what's a nice one? Waldorf, Vegas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Nice, yeah.
All the Vegas ones.
But that's a newer one, right? I mean, it looks new. Unbelievable.
That's nice, yeah.
Unbelievable.
Earlier in my career, I really liked the Crescent Court in Dallas, too.
Oh, yeah.
That's a nice one.
Don't stay there anymore, though, I don't think. Or maybe they do again. I can't remember. Do you? In Dallas?
We stayed at the Crescent. We stayed at the Crescent.
Yeah. They finally remodeled it, I think, right?
Yeah, their pens are average.
Pens are average?
The Ritz-Carlton and the Four Seasons pens, top of the
line. That's where you do your magic, huh?
It's like crossword.
No, it's like a heavy. No, it's a heavy. Pen. Oh, it's unbelievable.
Mills, you would have really enjoyed that, hey, for the crosswords?
Like here in the Pendry, there's no Nespresso.
Every time we're at a Ritz, I'd take the pen.
Take the pen.
Skinny, solid, fit in the newspaper.
Like Nespressos are huge, too. Here at the Pendry, there's no Nespresso. Millsy, how's the adjustment been moving down from LA to OC?
It's been good. Yeah. Took a little minute to get the kids settled in routines, right? But we're liking it a lot. We're missing out on some of the boys taking off out of town, but it's good to have them back.
Let's get to that. I couldn't be more disappointed, Getsy, than you taking off to Nashville.
Yeah.
You're the most California guy, not from California.
Really?
Look at your rainbow flip flops.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
I'm like a chameleon, but I just adapt. I wear cowboy boots in Tennessee. And
do you? And a cowboy hat?
I've been known to bring the boots out. No, I don't wear cowboy hats. My head's too small.
I was going to say too big. That's too small.
No, I got a tiny little head.
Custom.
Yeah. Custom. But it's still, the hat looks big on my head, though. Even if it's the right size, it's still like a bobblehead kind of.
Country music. I know you're a big country music fan. You've always been. I mean, who you listen to now? Like who?
I like everything. Morgan Wallen's probably, I got tickets for his upcoming show. He's one of my favorites right now. So,
but what about John Party?
Yeah. Enjoy his. I don't know about this whole new Beyonce thing we got going on the country music scene, but I don't know. We'll see.
Old Texas Hold'em?
I listen to that song. It's not bad.
I
got a good beat going, but I don't know how country it is.
I like the Toby Keith. You know what I mean? Like, I love this bar.
Oh, yeah.
Just the class. It's
R.I.P.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tough one.
We saw Luke Combs last summer at the down in Boston.
Mm-hmm. Foxborough. Oh, Foxborough.
The Patriot Stadium. Wow. It was awesome.
Yeah, there's a lot of good artists right now.
For sure. Was Lainey Wilson the first
Oh, really? She opened for him?
Yeah.
And Bosch, now you're of course living in Montreal. I mean, just how's that been? I mean, going from California, short and t-shirt weather, back to Montreal.
Yeah, we kind of knew we would go back when I retired, and it wasn't really hard for us, like moving back. The kids were around, their cousins and uncles and grandparents, so it was an easy adjustment. And now we're just driving kind of back and forth, two kids, hockey practices and games, and having fun with it. It's kind of
what so and I was actually looking at this earlier. So I'm gonna say your hometown, at least
Sorel.
What they say, Sora. So I'm gonna try to say Sorel Tracy. Is that
Sorel Tracy?
Is it, do I have a good accent? Like, is that
yeah.
You've been working on your French, bud.
But
I like that.
I wanted to try it out. I would
nailed it. Good. Yeah.
Besides producing Francois Beaujolais, what is Sorel? What is it, Tracy? What are they known for? What do they produce?
Well, actually, surprisingly, it's a really small town.
Yeah.
But Marc-André Fleury is from Sorel.
No way.
Stanley Cup winner.
No way.
And Obey Kubel, who played in Washington, won the Stanley Cup as well.
Wow.
So we had the Stanley Cup in Sorel Tracy three times in the last 15 years, if you want.
Wow.
So Anthony Beauvillier.
Yes.
He's from Sorel.
Jeez.
Yeah.
You guys do anything else up there?
We talked about Getzy's country. Seems like you're into the country music.
Mm-hmm.
Bosch, what's on your playlist? Millsy.
Not country. Sorry, boys.
Got kids music.
Yeah, a lot of Moana going on right
now. Moana?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. My daughter, Kaya, she demands it. You know, I mean, we're trying to put some music on, and it's just from the car seats.
She's not into the Taylor Swift yet?
No, not yet. I'm sure she'll get there. But
yeah, my daughter just started it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Good luck on tickets, bud.
No, I don't know. We ain't going to no shows.
I've been hearing people talk about getting tickets to like Taylor Swift and all the stuff for their kids and everything. They're just like grinding on the computer and like just like waiting for the queue to enter. And they're like,
and you got 10 minutes to enter all your information and you got to pick a seat. And like, I'm like, oh my God, that's crazy. Yeah. Millsy, you're now working with the Sharks after years with the PA. Just take me post-playing career, starting with the NHLPA, and just how you got to be a part of the Sharks?
Yeah, well, when I ended up helping out the NHL, actually, with a competition committee in hockey operations. So I had known Kay Whitmore through, competition committee with the NHLPA, and when I got finished, he was like, oh, we need some help, and maybe see if you like it. So I was helping out in the war room, and some rules decisions and stuff like that. So I did that for a season and a half. And Mike Greer's the GM in San Jose now. He's an old teammate from Buffalo. And he called me up and asked if I'd be able to help him out as he started
working up there, and I put it off for a season because Kaya, my daughter, was just born. Didn't think we'd have a whole lot of time, but took a step forward this year, gave them some more time, and it's been good. Learning a lot, been scouting, doing development all for the goalies up there, and it's cool.
And Getzy, is it, can we say it's cowardly that he's working with the rival team up north?
I mean, cowardly.
I don't know.
There's a doggy world out there, buddy. You work where you want it.
Well, I don't know. It's just like...
Well, you go where the job is.
I know, but that's rival. It's like Speed's doing that to us, you know?
Well, hey, man, we love hockey. Like, love being a part of it. And I wasn't looking for a job. Gersey called me and said, hey, we would value your input, and we have a position for you. I didn't get that same call from the Ducks
or the
Sabres, for that matter. Yeah. Or
did Getzy have anything to do? Did Getzy not give you a call? Or are we blaming Getz on that one?
I think Getzy wants to see how I develop. You know? He needs to see something out of me. Yeah.
I don't think Getzy can hire anybody. Don't worry.
Getzy, for just listeners out there, I mean, specific title, role, how it's been going for you post career. and are you like, what's your,
I don't know what the specific title is,
hour by hour work life these days post career?
Yeah, it's a grind. I think I work 3 or 4 days a month, and it's it's been good. I've been able to do some different things and stuff, which has been kind of what I wanted to do, was kind of experience different things in the management side. I've been doing the player development thing this year, and going to see some of our young players out at college and whatnot, but we'll see how it goes. I'm starting down this new Hockey Canada path now too, where I'm getting to be a little bit more involved, which is going to be fun.
And I mean, what are your aspirations post-career? Like, what's at the top of your list for things post-career? Like, I mean, you're in the player development role. I know it's, you know, I mean, what?
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, I don't know that the player development is where I ultimately want to be, but it's nice to go through it and learn what guys do and that kind of stuff. I think my end goal is probably to be more in a, assistant to the president, something like that, where I'm a little bit more involved in the overall operations of the NHL team. But you got to kind of learn how things operate from the bottom up, I think, and I'm getting to do that a little bit. And like I said, this new Hockey Canada role, I'm going to get to see firsthand what it's like to deal with different GMs and stuff and pick teams through that whole process. So
you're cut from that cloth. You just really are. that upper management, I can see it right now.
Yeah, I just like it. It's I like the view of building something, I think, is kind of what I'd like to do.
So we were just in Calgary. Muggsy shouts across the room, hey, wasn't Calgary the place where you did the bear spray? So I'm going to bring up the story of me and the bear spray in Banff. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I do.
So it was playoffs. And this is it. Muggsy just literally, hey, Eats, remember that time in Calgary, the bear spray? So I got to tell it now. So it was me, I think Clayton Stoner, Gibby, I think Ski, me being at California, I don't know, not in the hunting, I don't know, Regina, did you hunt back then?
I never hunted. My family all hunts, but
okay, Bush,
not me.
You hunt now.
Bush is a hunter.
Yeah. Millsy, yeah?
Yeah, I grew up learning how to do it, yeah, in Michigan.
So bear spray, did you guys know anything about the sheer velocity of the rate in which bear spray shoots out in the distance?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So you knew via just being an outdoors junior?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the idea. You want that bear far away from you.
Okay, well, yeah, I understand it now, but long story
the concept
short.
Concept now makes sense.
Long story short. We grabbed the bear spray from the front desk. So we're going on this walk. We had probably a day off, I think. Mm-hmm. And we're going on a walk. It was probably half mile deep into the woods, turned back. We weren't even using the bear spray. It was just, you know, shooting the shit. And came back. I don't know why I didn't return it to the front desk? That's why I'm scratching my head. Like, why didn't I return the bear spray to the front desk? Regardless, mistakenly brought it up and I bust in the room. I'm like, Campus, heads up, like, watch out. He's laying on the bed. I bust the door open and I'm like, Campus, check this out. It goes 15 feet across the room. I wish I had a more supportive roommate and someone different than him, because he made a scene, rips his shirt off. Brad Lauer, I think, is heading to
blaming Hampus.
Not at all. But I was like,
interesting word.
I was like, oh my god, you know what I mean? Because I'm surprised. I was like, okay, maybe it's like a glorified pepper spray. You know what I mean? And I press it. It launches 15, 20 feet. Luckily, the room was long enough, or else it would have just plastered the wall. It stuck enough to the point where the room was. So anyway,
needless to say, that was a change of rooms.
No, you guys
had to gut it out in there.
Brad Lauer walked by. He was like, you know, Hampus is airing out his shirt. It smells a little bit, but I don't think at that point it seeped out in the room. Brad Lauer like looks in, just kind of like, what could possibly be going on right there? Kind of, you know, so he goes off to dinner. I don't know. The room stunk so much that I called the front desk. I'm like, hey, I just shot bear spray, you know, in my room. And now it smells like bear spray. And, you know, what do we do? So we, I don't know.
You just calmed down. I'm sure this happens all the time. They're like, no, sir, that's never happened ever.
We left the door open. It aired out. It was fine. But the front desk was notified.
Yeah, they were not. They weren't impressed.
Rumor spread. Brosh, I think you turned around and looked at me and just like, it was one of those things where I walked on the bus and everyone's just like,
what's wrong with this guy?
Unbelievable. Yeah. Speaking of that, Getsy, you or Worm have any early young playing day blunders?
I can't remember that far back.
I think Worm missed the bus.
We missed the bus a few times. Yeah. Well, him and Loops almost got our first year.
I think they
were going to get sent down, or Pears was getting sent down, and Scotty actually stuck up for him, I think.
In Boston?
Was it in Boston? I don't know. Me and Loops missed the bus in Chicago the night after my first NHL game. We missed the bus in the morning. And then he wasn't my roommate anymore. And then he ended up being roommates with Pears. And they missed the bus. Yeah, it was in Boston. I think you're right.
I think so.
And supposedly the next day they were going to send Perry down. And Scotty stuck up for him or something and ended up keeping him up. But
I think he's missing.
Those are the most.
I'll take care of him.
Like, yeah, that was the most petrifying thing ever when you miss the bus as a young player.
Randy was really happy.
Oh, just miserable. And not even Randy, like all the guys like sitting on the bus and you're like crawling to the back. Mm-hmm. Like,
what about with Bruce? Did anyone miss the bus? I'm sure it happened. With
Bruce?
Well, yeah, but what was his mentality? I mean, what?
I don't know if Bruce would have noticed. He would have probably just laughed and been like, where's this guy?
I remember after the bear spray incident, I went up to Bruce. I'm like, Bruce, I'm not scratched because of the bear spray incident. I was like, I don't know what his response is. No, whatever. How about you, Melzy? I mean, any early playing career miss bus, anything?
No, I didn't have any of those problems. It was more just like dealing with the veteran guys. We had some pretty eclectic characters when I first kind of got to Buffalo. Like Rob Ray was still there and he was pretty grumpy at the time about his situation and with the coach. Him and Lindy were not getting along. And being a rookie, they kind of forced me to sit with Rob because it was the only open seats on the plane, kind of near the bus. And he was just always just kind of grumpy and then running my show. Chirping me and testing me, and that was like his thing. Like he was testing you all the time, and you had until you stuck up for yourself. And he pushed me for like a long time, and like he was like chirped me after like a goal against in the locker room in between periods, and I finally like just lost it on him because he was like, oh, look at the golden boy. I thought you'd like make a save or something like that. It's like, oh, well, it's not like you're getting any ice time, Razor. Like, you want to come help me out there? And he thought it was great.
He seemed like
funny. He thought it was like great. He finally stuck up for yourself and he left me alone.
That's awesome.
You know, he's a great guy, but it's funny how that all works.
I think I tagged him in some kind of a Instagram social media, maybe story or something. Yeah. And he DM'd me back and he was like, "Hey, thanks for whatever. I can't remember the, but you know, he took the time to, you know,
no, he's a nice
reach
guy.
Out to me." Yeah.
Yeah, he's big personality.
Yeah.
When he was playing for sure, but it seems like he's calmed down quite a bit now.
And then Bosch for you, I mean, any early playing days?
I think when we first came in, Ruslan Saleh was kind of
rusty.
Giving it to us, eh?
Oh yeah.
Rusty
was
in practices or any day, and on the plane we would play cards and he could be pretty
angry.
Oh yeah, he didn't like it. He didn't like it.
When he lost?
Oh, yeah.
Uh-oh. And the whole plane, like, knew it?
Oh, yeah. You could hear him from anywhere. That was back when we had the regular planes, too. So we were sitting, like,
three seats
across, playing cards in the middle.
There was usually, like, six or seven of us.
Yeah.
So we would sit, on the aisle seat, and then there'd be three, four guys on this side, three, four guys on that side, and then passing the cards around and playing on the floor.
Was he good?
He was really good.
He was a good player.
He was a good player, yeah.
RIP.
Yeah.
Legacy night number three, the Alumni Golf Classic, these kind of events, and Getzy, I'll start with you. Does it just bring back memories of playing days and just, you know, being with the guys again? I mean, just touch on that a little bit.
Yeah, I can't think of better better way to carry on the history of a team and build that kind of the alumni program in general, but building that that sense of pride in the organization. These are great events for it. Getting the guys together, I think that it's something that we're trying to do more and more. But yeah, just sitting at dinner last night, just telling stories about back in the day and all that stuff. It's awesome. It brings back so many great memories that we had when we were playing. And it's great for the fan base and the current players for that matter. I think it's very important to be able to look back and understand the history of the team and to help building on it.
Millsy, favorite Ducks playing career on ice moment and off ice moment?
The first year I got here, we went on a nice run get to the playoffs, and that was exciting for me. Had some lean years in Buffalo. I got a chance to get a couple more playoff runs in St. Louis and in Vancouver. But then we had a couple lean years up in Vancouver, as you know. So getting on the team, having a good run that year was a lot of fun. It was exciting again. And then I think off ice, I was just kind of more impressed with the support for the team in the area. I guess, you know, played most of my career out east. A little bit more out west later, but really didn't get that time spent around the area of Orange County. And then obviously when I moved out here in LA and got to know the area a little bit better, really blown away by the fan base and the support and the reach that the Ducks have in the area, and the vibe around the rink was always great.
And Bosch, how about you? I mean, just favorite Ducks on ice, off ice, playing career.
You know, talking with the boys last night, and all we talked about pretty much was all the playoff runs that we had, trying to remember the years that we, you know, we won the 1 year in 07, but then after that, we lost to LA, we lost to Chicago, we lost to Nashville. So, you know, obviously the Stanley Cup year is the year that, you know, it was kind of an everyday thing, like just showing up at the rink and having a great time with the boys and going really hard in practices. I remember like everything was really hard in practice, and then after that we had a lot of fun, and just going to the rink and knowing we would win every game, it was kind of really special during that season. And after that, like we talked about last night, we had a real good runs against LA and Chicago when we lost to them and they won the Stanley Cup. That was kind of those are hard memories to think about, but 07 obviously was a favorite.
I'm gonna stick with you, Bosch. You know, you wore an A, you're a leader. When we look at this current Duck squad right now, like, not only looking at this current Duck squad, but I mean, if you could give maybe them advice on leadership, Getsy, I mean, you played with Getsy, he wore the C, you know, in your mind, how Getsy went about his business and what, you know, really made him a great captain through and through.
Well, Getsy was great just, you know, because of the his presence in the room. Like, he didn't really need to say much, obviously. When he would talk, like, guys obviously would listen and would know, like, it's time to wake up. Like, it wasn't good, but just his leadership, how, you know, how he worked on the ice and his presence on the ice in games. And so right now, these days, I don't know, I haven't been around much and I haven't seen too many games, obviously, being on the East Coast. Watch a few periods here and there on Sundays when the game's at 5 here and 8 back home. But it's, you know, going through tough times lately. So it's going to be every one of these guys that will have to step up and get out of this thing.
Millsy, you've had different captains on different teams, of course, in your playing career. I mean, just maybe, I mean, from Buffalo, Vancouver, Anaheim, obviously with Getsy, I mean, differentiate the few teams, what you liked about, you know, the captains that you had, and then, you know, finishing it off on what Getsy brought to really help this organization, the leadership in the room, so on and so forth.
A lot of different styles. I think that's the common denominator of, you know, all the captains is simply been a presence. It is a player that all the guys can respect and look towards. I've had guys who are more vocal. I've had guys who don't say a whole lot, but it's always about the presence. Are the kind of guy who shows up? Are they going to be an everyday kind of guy? And that's what you need out of your leadership. I guess he certainly brought it every day, but we all know, you know, Getsy's demeanor as well. You know, he can be very laid back and have a lot of fun. And I think that when somebody's more approachable, that helps to kind of round it out, where you can relate to everybody on the team. And that's a good quality to have. And as far as the current club, I think it's hard when you go through some lean years and you're looking for that North Star, and you have some guys cycle out. And I've been on teams where, you know, you watch guys go away, you watch guys leave, and you got young guys trying to find themselves. And they're going to have to find a way to all kind of come together, have a common cause. And, you know, you saw it was a good start for the Ducks, but NHL is a tough league, right? It's an everyday league. So you want to find those everyday players. And I think that's just part of the process, what they're going through right now. You got to find the everyday guys, and the guys on the club right now can't take it for granted.
Yeah.
You know, that you got to be an everyday player, or else you might not find yourself in the NHL every day.
Awesome. Well, I want to go first, and then I'll lay it up to you, Getsy. Sorry if I was a little back in the day. At any point, what I admired about you, Getsy, is kind of what Millsy touched on, is just that ability to control. You know, obviously, it's always serious, right? But just the perfect combination of high standards, always being serious, and that ability to be approachable, joke around with you. And I just thought it was the perfect mixture of everything off the ice, and made, you know, guys like myself comfortable being pushed to the limit each and every day. You know what I mean? So on the ice, your 200 foot game, just crazy. You know, just your ability to finish hits, your back check game. Who are we giving crap about?
No, but you're playing
without the puck. Yeah. No, you played with the puck so much because you fought hard to get it, 100%. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I appreciated, both off the ice and on the ice, for you as a captain, and for you now, what did it mean for you to be a captain, and what is the future captain of the Ducks, whoever it's going to be, like, you know, what are some qualities that you'd want to see?
Well, first, thanks for the kind words. I wasn't this wasn't supposed to be a pump up me show, but anyways, I think as far as the captaincy thing going, my whole mentality was just kind of to be myself. I never wanted to try. I learned different things. Obviously, we had Scotty as a captain for a while, who, those of you who know him, doesn't really talk, doesn't say much, but his presence in the room, the what he's accomplished, gave him all the credibility in the world. So, and then, you know, we had Prongs for a little while, who I learned from, who sat beside me in the room and yelled a lot and kicked things a lot, and but was a warrior all the time. And so I kind of tried to take different roles. And as a captain, you have to adapt over the years. Like I went through playing with these guys, old school grunt, to playing with the new age player who's a lot different. They're different built. You have to talk to them different, all that stuff. So, but ultimately my main focus all the time, and I think for any leader, would be that I never wanted to ask someone to do something that I wouldn't do myself. So that's why I expected myself to play hard, hit, fight when I needed to. All that kind of stuff was part of my game and part of my makeup. So, and I think that that's the quality that I would try to admire the most and try to put forward the most, is that I needed to do what needed to be done. And if you do that, I think the team knows you're authentic and they'll follow. And that's what we need. I mean, our locker room is, they're going through a hard thing right now, and it's such a balancing act of, you can't go in mad every day. But at the same time, it's not bells and whistles when you're losing. So it's about not being comfortable with losing. I think that teams can slip into that very easily when they're going through this stuff, where you get used to losing, because it's a habit. Whether you're winning or losing, it's a habit you form. And the good teams that I played on, we had a winning habit where we, like Bosch mentioned it before, we went into the game knowing we were going to win. Whether the score was this or that, you kind of just played, and more times than not, it turned out in your favor.
And then, Millsy, for you being with the Sharks, I mean, I was going to ask, what does this organization need to do to turn it around? But Getsy, you said it right there. Like, what for San Jose? Like, what do you? I know you're working with the goaltenders, and but just from an organizational standpoint, like, what are some goals for them?
It's really been just kind of a realignment thing. You're trying to acquire a direction with the assets we have available. I think you saw with the trade deadline. Moves where they moved out some big guys, you know, the end of last year, end this year, end over this last summer, you know, Meyer, Hurdle, Carlson, like big name guys. Yeah. You know, Couture's been unavailable. We're unsure about his status. So like the defining players on that team who moved on. So they're trying to redefine and create a new core. It might take a little bit of time. So you do look at this time as development time. Certainly not looking at this season or even the next as a big step forward, but like it is hard. Like you don't want to have guys in the organization getting too comfortable. You don't want to have that creep in where the standard's too low.
So it's
tough, but you have to, it's weird. You have to have patience. You have to build a certain way, or else you do throw away the future. You have to have a certain balance to the way you form your organization these days. So. Yeah. It's tough, and it's tough on the fans. You have to have the patience to get through it, and the Ducks are kind of probably more in the middle of something right now. And the Sharks have just embarked on it, so hoping it's sooner than later, but that's what it takes.
Bosch, how about for you? Just you making any trades on the youth clubs here that you're coaching? I heard Kess is he's making some trades out there at Little Caesars. He's getting pretty ruthless out there. Yeah.
No, back home we just work with what we have. Yeah. No trades on the 11-year-old team. keep working hard in practices, shooting one timers.
There you go.
And just to wrap it up, Getsy said what was on his, I don't know, bucket list, you know, top of the list for achievements he wants to go after. I mean, what for you? I mean, are you just smooth sailing, taking care of the fam,
Yeah, main that's priority. Pretty much it. I did obviously the development role with the Ducks for a few years, which I enjoyed it a lot. But just at one point, it was just getting too much travel for me. Like, I wanted to see the kids play their hockey games, and my daughter going to her dances competition. And I didn't like when I would have to go on the road to see the Ducks prospects play and miss the kids stuff. So right now it's just basically just around the kids and doing a few hunting trips in the fall and snowmobile rides in the winter time, and that's just enjoying it.
Yeah.
Following hockey and watching games at night, and really enjoy it.
Living the good life. Millsy, how about you? I mean, just career, you've done a ton post-career. Is there anything that you still have yet to accomplish that you want to go after?
I hope I still have another career in hockey, like, that I can work towards. Just trying to learn as much as I can right now. I enjoy the development side actually a little bit right now. It's something I spent a lot of time on myself, so I think I got a lot to offer. But I want to learn the other elements, and kind of like Getsy, I do like the idea of building at some point, but taking the page from Bosch as well. Like, my kids are young. I want to see them do stuff. I don't want to miss holidays and birthdays, and the hockey schedule does not allow any leeway. Yeah. So whether you're a player, a coach, or an executive these days, you are in it. So I'm trying to balance that right now, and just I'm enjoying the family time. And when the time's right, I want to re-engage with all the stuff I've learned, that just spending time acquiring that knowledge and watching hockey and trying to be a part of it a different way. And you know, I'm glad my son plays, and glad my daughter's having fun as a 2-year-old. So we're all good.
Unreal.
Yeah.
Getsy, not coming out of retirement. It's stamped. There's no big comeback story for you.
There's no Solani comeback.
No,
for this guy. I tried to skate in the Hall of Fame game, and it was
wasn't pretty.
I was pretty tired after the first 45.
You were still towing out there. The toe drags.
Toe drag was still around,
but
couldn't score to save my life, though. So.
Boat?
Which is normal.
45 seconds is a pretty long shift.
That was a long shift, yeah. Well, I was used to, I was more of a minute five kind of guy in the NHL.
Bosch, Ducks, could use your slap of clapper. Are you any thoughts about any coming out of retirement?
No. It's been 6 years already, and I play once in a while on Wednesday nights with my buddies to go have a couple beers after game. But
just first pass, that's all. You just round the net, just sling pass, and try to get up there and use the clapper.
Not passing past the blue line.
I'll just be here, boys.
Millsy, well, the Ducks tendies are for sure on point. But Millsy, no, you're no coming out of retirement.
Getsy and I played in that game together.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Millsy had to play the whole game, too.
Yeah, it was
the old veteran.
I felt good, but the next day I didn't
feel
good.
Was he stopping or was he letting in everything?
Oh, no. He looked good out there. It's normal.
But yeah, I felt good.
Yeah, it's more the next day that's always the problem. Day, yeah.
I honestly, there was one shot I lined up on it, and it went wide. And as a goalie, like, you already start your save. And when you're in shape, you can stop your save. And you can get up properly. And I let my leg go out, and I started, my brain wasn't working because I'm thinking I'm playing hockey, and I didn't stop myself properly, and I felt it, and I was like, "That's tomorrow, this is going to suck." And the next week was just tight, right? So I was just like, that's why you train, that's why the 20-year-olds are playing.
Fans, you heard it. They're not coming out of retirement, so stop asking. Thanks for tuning in for another episode of Till Mighty Until Now, and guys, Bosch, Millsy, Getsy, thanks for joining.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks.
Thanks, bud.
This is an Anaheim Ducks original production on Duckstream.